If you have a Bible this morning, find the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter number 10. If you're looking for 2 Corinthians in your Bible and you can't find it, just find 1 Corinthians, and it'll be right after that. Okay, right after that. Hold on, Martha, he's got jokes today. I know. Here we go. Well, this morning, we are starting a brand new message series that I could not be more excited about, simply titled Mastermind. Mastermind. And we're using the tagline, change your thinking, change your life. And how many of you were here last Sunday? Give me a little hand up if you were here. Wow, it was fantastic last week if you were here. We had 11 baptisms in our services, massive number of people coming through our doors, and we also ended our 21 days of prayer and fasting last Sunday as well. Well, last week, there came a point in the message where I briefly talked about the power of our mind, and I said this line. I said, if we want to battle the discouragement that we face in our lives, it's really important that we learn to master the things that go through our head. And it's a powerful topic, really important. The problem with last week is that we took a total of like 2.5 minutes to talk about it. And I left that message with just this feeling, and I believe it was kind of a God moment, but the feeling was we need, as a church, we need to go deeper on that topic. We need to go deeper with that. And I want to make sure to say this as well as we start this new series. Every week, I spend quite a bit of time prayerfully putting together the message for Sunday morning. It is a priority to us. The rest of the pastors are involved in the process as well. And it's just a priority that we follow God's leading for every single Sunday and every single message that we preached. We are different than many of the churches that you grew up in that we do not follow any sort of a liturgy or system in any way like that. A liturgy is a lot of churches have a yearly calendar that kind of tells them which direction to go. For us, we just kind of rely on prayer and asking ourselves, where do we feel like God is leading? What do we think our people need right now in this season? And we prayerfully put together the topics and where we go in the Bible and all of that. And we see God move and work through that. We take it very seriously. I'm setting it up in that way. But there are a few times and have been a few times over the years for me where as I have been praying and as I have been studying kind of a very specific topic or studying for this, for a message, where we find a series or a message from someone else that just kind of leaves us thinking like, our church family needs to hear that. So this morning, I just want to be open and honest with you kind of as we start, and this is important to me to even say this, that this series of messages here isn't completely original to us. We actually had this week, we're looking through some things, found this, and it was just like it came alive in me. And it's actually from a series that a fantastic pastor in Oklahoma City spoke. But as we were prayerfully putting this together, I just thought, our people need to hear that. So I just felt like I needed to say that because I don't like coming across like I'm way smarter than I am when actually I use all sorts of resources and people all the time. In that way, okay? In fact, I've spent so much time on this week that I feel like it's my own. Like it's burning inside of me in that way. So, all right, enough of that. I want to set the series up this way. Listen to this. The life that you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. And your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you want to change your life, then you change your thinking. This is not just a Bible thing. It's not just a church thing. This is a medical thing. This is a scientific thing as well. Kind of the theme verse for this series comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Let me read it to you. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. And how are we to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible points to change happening in our life sort of being intertwined with our thinking. with what goes on in your mind. Why is that? Because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about what this looks like. And here's what's fantastic about this. There are some, like, just flat out pointed, very specific passages of scripture that point us in the right direction on this topic of renewing our mind. And I'm excited to study them together. So enough of an introduction. Stand with me all over this place. Let's read our passage of scripture for this morning. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we're going to start reading in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, let me remind you that the way in which you posture yourself and your heart, even in a time just like this, has everything to do with God working and moving inside of you. So let's lean in, sit on the edge of our seats, and all of that. And I believe that God has something so huge for us today. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Here's what it says. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Come on, here we go. God, we take a deep breath, we pause, we breathe in. God, just opening ourselves up to you. We want to experience you through your very word. And so, God, I just pray that something special, something supernatural would happen in this moment. We give this to you. God, use me, speak through me. God, we don't want my words, we want you. And so, God, do that, show us that. We give this to you in your name, we pray. Amen, amen. All right, give somebody a high five and have a seat. Need a high five.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Morning, Susanna. Great to have you here. All right. Well, what I want to do here as we start is we're going to do what I'm going to call a thought audit. It rhymes. I don't even know what it means yet, but it rhymes, so that's good. In a moment, what I'm going to do is we're going to put a couple words on the screen, and there's going to sort of be a scale from 1 to 10, and I want you to rate yourself in your mind here on this when it comes to your thoughts and what you think, kind of where you fit in, okay? Here's the first one, worried thoughts versus peaceful thoughts, okay? On one side, we have worried. Are you the kind of person that worries a lot, worries about what people think, worries about your future, worries about your children, your money, your job, your health? Tends to worry often about different things versus those that have kind of a more peaceful mind. You rest well at night. Your heart is at peace. Your mind is not filled with anxiety. Like, you don't have to answer it out loud, but where would you put yourself on that scale in the way that you think and the things that go through your mind, okay? The second one, and there's only two, is rate yourself on this scale, a positive mindset compared to a negative mindset. Where do you feel that you fit on this? Are you typically negative in the way that you think, in the things that go into your mind, focusing on the bad situations? Are you discontented with life, feeling like life is always hard and it's only going to get worse? Is it easy for you to be critical of other people? And thinking in your mind, I can't believe she wore that. Who does she think she is? I can't believe he said that. Did you see what they put on Facebook? Are these the things that go through your mind? Are you negative in your mindset, or is your mind mostly filled with positive things and positive thoughts? Seeing the best about people. Like, life is generally good, and God is working in all things for the good. Where do you put yourself on this scale, generally negative or generally positive? Now, why does this matter? Because understand, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you are filled with worry, your life is going to move in that direction. If you are filled with negativity, your life is going to be negative. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you believe you're a victim, always suffering at the hand of some outside circumstance, you will be a victim. If you're always looking at the problems, your problems will overwhelm you. See, for almost all of us, in almost every situation, most of life's battles actually happen in the mind. The mind truly is a battlefield. So some of you who are from the 80s thought that love was a battlefield. Is that, okay? Your mind is a battlefield. It's a battle between God's truth about you and Satan's lies to you. A war between God's truth and our enemy's deception. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. Now listen to this right here. No matter what you do, no matter how much money you make, no matter how good your kids are at athletics or music or whatever, no matter where you live, how good things actually are in your life, you cannot have a positive life when you have a negative mind. You cannot have a positive life if you have a negative mind. Your thoughts matter. Now, a few moments ago, we read from a book of the Bible called 2 Corinthians, which is one of the letters written by the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote 13 letters over a period of about 17, 18 years. 13 letters that we have. There are many more that we feel like we don't have, but we have 13 in our Bible. And Paul is someone who, like, this guy truly mastered his thoughts. How do I know this? Because of some of the crazy things that he would write amidst some of the crazy situations that he was in. Truly, especially later on in his life, and we're going to look at this. In fact, pretty much this entire 4 weeks is going to be built on the writings of Paul, specifically when he writes about the way that he thought. Later in his life, he spends a bunch of time in prison in Rome. Eventually, scholars think he is executed in Rome. He's going to be beheaded. So he spends his time, he writes these beautiful, amazing, powerful letters from prison, waiting execution. And he just gives these incredible, positive, life-giving words that they just come out of that. We read one of those today. Let's look at this again. Okay, verse 3, he writes, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." Okay, there's a battle happening. It's not a battle like with armies and that kind of stuff, the way that you think of war. It's a different kind of battle. Verse 4, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world." Listen, if you are a follower of Christ, know that you have access to supernatural weapons, in a way. You have access to that. Not weapons like guns and knives and whatever, but something so much greater. In fact, here's what it says. "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Now, I love this. Let's geek out on the Greek a little bit, because this was originally written in Greek, and we have an English translation for that. The Greek word here translated as power, it's the word dynatos. Dynatos, it's actually where we get our English word dynamite. Comes from that. It's fantastic. Like, it's the explosive, miraculous, massive power of God. Power to do what? Divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds, not a word that you probably use in your everyday conversations. It's the Greek word ohiroma. Ohiroma. I'm butchering that and you don't have any clue, and that's okay. Okay? But here's what it means, and I love this. It means a fortified structure, a fortified structure. Like, it had kind of two things, a military structure of some kind, and then it also had, or a fortified prison, fortified prison. And I think the prison here fits perfectly with what Paul is saying. In fact, one scholar wrote this. He said, "When you're in a stronghold, you're a prisoner locked by deception." Locked by deception. Like believing a lie has actually put you in a sort of prison. Believing something that is not true has put you in a prison. Are you really in prison? No, it's a prison of your mind. The thought goes into your mind, you're not good enough. Nobody cares about you. You'll always be a failure. You don't have what it takes. And believing those lies puts us in prison. Now listen. Some of you, you are locked in a prison, and the only lock on that door is a lie. It's a lie. So Paul says this, verse 5. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Anything that is not from God, we crush it, we destroy it, we get rid of it, we remove it from our life. And then check this out, the last line. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to recognize any thought that is not from God. Why does any of this matter? Because the life that you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you want to change your life, you change your thinking. You change your thinking, okay? This series is 4 weeks. We have all sorts of things we're going to talk about and some very practical stuff on what this looks like. But today, I want to get us started on this, and what I want to do is I want to give you two steps to help you kind of learn to master your mind in some of this, okay? Specifically dealing with lies, deception, strongholds, and that. Okay, number one, write this down if you're taking notes, okay? This is important. Number one, identify the number one stronghold that is holding you back. Okay, what's a stronghold again? A stronghold is a lie that is keeping you prisoner. I'm never going to be good enough. My past is too bad. God could never love me. God could never use me. I can't trust anybody. I'll just get hurt again. Every relationship I'm in seems to fall apart. I'm never going to be in the job that I love. I'm never going to have enough. What is it for you? The number one lie that goes through your mind, the stronghold that's keeping you in a way a prisoner, that's keeping you from changing, that's keeping you from moving in the direction of God. What is it that's holding you back? The beginning of this is really identifying what that looks like. Now, I was driving to church, or I was driving to Walmart the other day. I know this about me. I live out towards Long Prairie a little bit, kind of around Greystone Golf Course. And so I drive here to church all the time. I work here. I feel like I live here sometimes. Drive here in the morning, okay, go home for lunch sometimes, drive back, stuff in the evening. So in a week, I'm driving this same thing. Right down 71, turn right at the stoplight here by McDonald's, and I get here over and over and over and over again. Get it? Okay. The other day, I was going to Walmart from my house, and just driving. And you ever just get in that spot where you just don't think, and you're just kind of driving? All of a sudden, I pull into the church parking lot. Going, what in the world am I doing here? Like, I was going to Walmart. I just drive right there, okay? And I was listening to something this week that really is going to kind of tie with this. And they were talking about what's known in science as neural pathways. Neural pathways. Neural pathways are what help us efficiently do rather difficult tasks in life without using our brain very much. Things like riding a bike. Do you have any idea how difficult it actually is to ride a bike? It's crazy. The pedaling and the balancing and all of this, just to have a kid try it. When you first learn it, it is a really weird thing. Super weird, okay? But now, you create this neural pathway in your mind and your brain, and you do it without even thinking about it. Driving a car, the same way, you can do that. Reading a book, all of these types of things are actually very difficult things to do. Totally simple. Why? Because you've created what's called a neural pathway in your brain. Now, what happens is that when you think the same thoughts over and over and over again, it creates a kind of pathway actually in your brain. This is science right here, okay? One person even said, like, there's these grooves in your brain. Not like real grooves, but it's almost, in a sense, you have these grooves, and when you think the same thing over and over and over and over again, it creates this groove. What this means is it now becomes much easier for you to think that and to go that direction and to do those things because there's kind of this pathway that has been created, okay? With enough repetition, these behaviors, these thoughts become automatic, okay? I explained the good. We can do difficult, easy tasks here. The bad is that once these pathways are created in the human mind, it becomes very difficult to change those behaviors. And to change those thoughts, this is where addictions come in. You chew your fingernails. You don't want to. You just do it without even thinking about it. Why? Because you've created this thing in your mind. It becomes very difficult to change that. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You've heard that before. Well, the truth is, you can. It just becomes more and more difficult because the dog has been thinking the same thing its entire life. And it's got the pathway right there. Now, the brain, in a way, has wired itself to make us more efficient in life. But what's interesting is this not only plays out in our behavior, it plays out in our thinking. The more you think the same thing, the more that thought becomes a pathway in your brain. Or you could say it this way, the more you think a thought, the easier it becomes to think that thought again. And if you think a thought enough, it becomes automatic. It becomes default in your brain. If you tell yourself you don't have enough, and you think it over and over and over again in your life, you create a pathway, and it now becomes easier for you to think that thought that you do not have enough. You have created a negative neural pathway. Now, if you want to stop going down the path, you have to make a new path. This is going to be brilliant right here, so pay attention. Like, think about a path in the woods for a second. Okay, you walk the same path over and over and over again in the woods, or a deer does. The ground becomes packed down. The trees that are overgrown begin to spread, and that path now becomes easier and easier to walk. If you want to go and find a new path, you have to get off of the easier path, and you have to walk in a place and make a new one. Now, here's what's cool, is that if you stop going, and then think about the woods here, if you stop walking on a path over here, what happens? Over time, it begins to grow up again, trees begin to come in again, and that path becomes difficult again to go down. But you can see this in our brain. Fantastic science when you think about this. It begins with you simply identifying the negative thought, the lie that is negatively impacting you. Because what we want is this. We want God's truth to be our default. God's reality, God's truth, the word of God, we want that to be our default. So when negative things happen in your life, your default thought is the truth of the word of God, the truth of God, not the lie that you've been thinking over and over again. We change our thinking away from the lies of the enemy and reprogram them with the truth. Now, this is hard. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Science would call it rewiring your brain. The Bible would say renewing your mind. Well, what is it for you? I'm such a failure. Nothing I do goes right. I've messed things up so bad in my past. There's no hope for me. Nobody wants to be with you. You're no good. You're used good. Okay, goods. I'm not attractive. People are making fun of me. I'm not good enough. I'll never be. Like, identify the lie that's keeping you captive. Now, number two, the second thing that we're going to do is this. We're going to then name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. Name the truth that demolishes that lie, okay? We're not going to travel that unhealthy path anymore. We're going to find the truth and learn how to travel down that path. John 8:31, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teachings, then you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. I love that line. The truth will set you free. Crazy relevant as you're talking about the mind, as you live in the lies and you've created these pathways in the same lies over and over again, you identify it. How do you defeat that? By covering it with the truth, by creating a different pathway with the truth. So figure out what the truth is. Now, as we kind of get ready to more transition in a few minutes to a time of just prayer and reflection, I want to just be transparent about some things. Because this is a reality to me. I'm not immune to this. In fact, there is a battle taking place in my mind all the time, just like it is for you. My lie is simply this. You're going to fail. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not outgoing enough. You're not a good enough leader. You can't meet everyone's expectations. You can't meet with everyone. You let them down. You're not enough. And the lie goes through my mind, and for years it has, all the time. You don't have what it takes. You're going to let people down. You're going to fail. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're, okay, over and over. Now, the reason that this lie is so powerful in me is because, part of it is because there's truth in it. Let me explain. On my own, I am never enough. On my own, I don't have what it takes to do this, to do anything like this. On my own, I'm not good enough. But the truth is, I'm never on my own. I'm never on my own. My God is always with me. His Spirit dwells within me. I have access to His living Word, which is powerful and sharp. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And when I begin to recognize that, I don't travel down the wrong path anymore. I travel down the right path. I have time to do everything God wants me to do. I have the resources to do everything He wants me to do. I have His Spirit guiding me, comforting me, correcting me, convicting me, empowering me. I have everything I need to do everything that God wants me to do. 2 Peter 1:3 demolishes my lie. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Or I personalize it. By His divine power, God has given me everything I need for living a godly life. And the more that I walk in that, the more God's pathway becomes clear and easier to travel, and God's truth becomes the default. Becomes the default. I don't know what it is for you. You might be thinking, I can't. Well, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You might be thinking, I can't get it all done. I'm never enough. The Bible says, when I am weak, He makes me strong. You might be thinking, I'm not attractive. No. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm just miserable. I'm always hurting. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm always going to be alone. He will never leave you or forsake you. I'm just a victim. I can't overcome. There's too much. I'm always going to be addicted. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. I am not who the enemy says that I am. I am who my God says I am. Come on, somebody. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. You cannot have a positive life if you have a negative mindset. Identify the number one stronghold that's holding you back. Begin to name the truth that demolishes it. Now, here's how we're going to close today. We're not going to sing this morning. We're going to just take just a few minutes, kind of just for a time of prayer and reflection here together. Will you stand with me all over this place? You are not immune to this. This is a reality in every single one of us. It is probably the number one tool, the number one weapon of our enemy, and the scripture says we have an enemy. In the Bible, we have a nickname for Satan simply as the deceiver. The deceiver. Think about that for a second. What does he want to do? Wants to deceive you. Wants to make you think that you are not what you are or who you are. That you are a failure, that you aren't good enough, that you, whatever, you fill in that blank for you. And his number one plan and number one success is really just to convince you that you are not who God made you to be. That is a mistake, whatever that is. What is this for you? What is the lie that Satan is putting in your mind? And what does it look like for you to begin to replace that lie with the truth, with no one looking around? Just kind of a time of privacy and reflection. How many in this place would just agree with me, raise their hand with me, just saying, man, I can feel the battle that is going on in my mind. Things that aren't true are creating a prison, are creating a stronghold in me. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. Hands all over this place. This is a real thing. It's not even some of us. If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying in church. So what does it take, or what does it look like for you to take a step in that direction, in the direction of replacing that path in your brain, to begin to live in and believe the truth that God has put in you? God, I pray right now for those of us who lifted up our hands this morning saying, yes, yes, this is a big deal. This is an issue. God, we know even scientifically that our thoughts control the direction of our life. And God, I just pray that today would be the start of a renewing of our mind for some of us specifically who are so caught up and who are so imprisoned by the things that are being spoken in our head. God, I pray that we would be free. I pray that as we realize the truth and we learn the truth of your word and of what you're saying about us and of who we are, that the truth would set us free. God, don't let us live in a prison from deception, a prison where the doors are locked by a lie. God, don't let us live that way. Help us, God, to move in your direction, even today. And I pray that over the next few weeks, as we go farther and deeper, I pray that this would be a life-changing few weeks for someone here today, God. We give this to you in your name, we pray. The last thing here before we go, maybe you're here this morning and you would just say, man, I know that I'm not right with God. I know that I have not given my life to him. I have not responded to him. The Bible says we're all sinners. It's why God sent his son to die for you. And if you will put your trust in Jesus, then you can be saved, is what the scripture says. There is freedom. There is forgiveness. There is grace and mercy no matter where you've been, no matter what you have done. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is shown to us through Christ Jesus. And maybe you're here today and with no one looking around. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, I have never responded to the message of Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. I want to receive the forgiveness that comes through him. If that's you, will you just show me your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else that would just say, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. The ushers are going to quickly just put something in your hand over here. So if you raised your hand, just raise it again so we can just give you something and put something in your hand. Anyone else that would just say, yes, that is me. That is me. Church, I want us to just pray together, everyone together, to help those out that lifted up their hands. Let's just pray this. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together? Let's celebrate that today. Thank you, God. We worship you, Lord. God, I pray that as we walk out these doors this morning, I pray that we would be more aware of you and your Holy Spirit than ever before. I pray that our mind would be filled with the truth and our thoughts would be from you, God. Help us to learn to take captive those thoughts that are not built on your truth. God, we give this to you. Challenge us, change us, move us, God, in your direction. We love you, and it's in the powerful, life-giving, amazing name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Listen.